You know, Dr. Cohen, you shared with us that unification is part of this process. It's a critical part of it. The two are truly becoming one. And of course, we know that in order for the two to become one, the two have to be on the same page. This is where we're going with it. Mm-hmm. But we hear a lot that when it comes to intimacy, because it sounds like that's part of what we're talking about here, true intimacy, that men just don't get it. They're not there. How do you find this whole issue of the gender issue playing a role in this unification process?
Well, I think, you know, there's two questions here. One is, does it make a difference if one is male and the other's female, or they're both females, or they're both males, or are there differences amongst different genders? For instance, males are not as likely to engage in making love as women are in general. I mean, there's two levels at which we could talk about this. The first one about whether gender differences matter. I think when one looks at the concept of what making love is, it transcends gender, because when one is making love, it's not about my body or your body. It's about the coalescence of us. So it's such a sharing relationship that distinctions between bodies is no longer, you know, even a matter. So whether it's a heterosexual or a gay couple who are, you know, making love, it doesn't matter. It's this intimate bond of coalescing and sharing that transcends mine and thine, so to speak.
So when these two come together, apparently there's been some level of intimacy even before they come together sexually. It just wasn't sexual intimacy per se.
It can be a look, an endearing look, a point at which you said to yourself, this person is somebody I can really care for. It's a moment in time that can be replayed again in your mind's eye when you're in the process of having sex. It's a thought of how he or she looked at a particular point, what that person was wearing, some provocative concept that draws you closer into that individual. And the way in which this is cast in terms of language, I think, is very important. We can speak in terms of the language of making love as opposed to the language of just having sex. Now, we're all familiar with the language of just having sex, and I'm not going to recite four-letter words on the air to you know, convey that. But certainly, we're used to hearing what it, you know, when we discuss and we describe what it is to just have sex. I got laid, stuff of that nature. It's not the kind of intimate sort of language, you know, that's utilized when one is talking about making love. So what are some, you know, love-making epithets? I want to lose myself within you. I want to be in you, lost in you, not just separate you. There's even kind of a foreplay to making love. If you've listened to some popular music, like the old Rod Stewart song, "You're in my heart, you're in my soul." I mean, that's the, you know, kind of a appropriate sort of entry point into making love, because it suggests, you know, this kind of very close intimacy. And it's not to say that's very seductive in the sense that, you know, it's very sensual, but there are these deep sensual getting lost in the person, being that, you know, close to that person, that you just basically lose you know, that boundary between you and the other person? And is there a necessity to have some form of intimacy prior? Well, it can help because it can set that kind of foreplay stage, you know, before you're actually into, you know, the sexual act. And that's where, you know, intimate moments and the way you cast those intimate moments, the way you think about those intimate moments, the way you express them to others, to the person with whom you're sexually engaged. These are all important aspects of, I think, making love.
So when the couple is engaging each other in this manner, you know, your pleasures are my pleasures. Your sensations are my sensations. This is all about us. It really isn't about me. It is almost, I get the impression, it's different from being, this is about me and it's about you. It's almost as though us becomes me. Us is we, and it's even more than just the sum of the two parts.
That's correct. You put your finger right on it. It's greater than the parts. The necessity of each individual is there. I mean, you're not going to have a sexual bond unless there's two or more individuals in the relationship. But you're not going to simply stop there and say, well, just these two individuals engaging in an act. It goes beyond that. The whole is greater than the sum of the parts, if I can put it that way.
That is so amazing. And so when the two come together with that type of mindset, with that kind of emotional bonding, that kind of physical bonding, do we know whether or not it tends to help them in their relationship when it comes to such things as loyalty and commitment?
Yeah, I think we would be good idea to step back a moment and draw some distinctions between different concepts. There's a concept of being in love, and making love is a great precursor to being in love. But it's not necessarily the case that making love means, you know, that you are in love, and being in love is basically a habitual kind of dispositional thing. It's something that you cultivate over time with an individual. Being in love involves such things as being there for the person, being beneficent, caring in a great manner, loyal to that person, considerate, empathetic, tolerant. I mean, there's a lot of things that go into being in love. Now, what's the connection here? Being in love, and on the one hand, versus making love. I mean, is there a necessary bond? Well, I don't think there's necessarily a bond. In other words, you can make love to somebody whom you're not necessarily in love with, because that, you know, that involves, as you said, commitment and you know, a temporal, you know, timeline with that individual where you've been with that individual and you've grown close to that individual in a caring sort of way. But certainly, the more you have this experience of making love, the more likely it is that you're going to be on the right path towards, you know, having a long-lasting, stable, loving relationship. And here, by love in the second sense here, being in love, I'm not talking just about romantic love. I'm talking about any kind of love. You know, love of a parent for a child also involves commitment, loyalty, honesty, trustworthiness, considerateness, and empathy, and so forth. But if we're talking about, you know, one thing leading to the other, certainly making love, if you can make love to a person, you set the stage for being in love.
Do you find that making love is something that some people tend to be afraid of? Maybe they want it, but they're afraid of it for one reason or another?
Yeah, I think that's a good point, and that goes back to the idea of faith. If you have a sense that your partner might not accept you, then and you're not willing to take that, as Soren Kierkegaard said, leap of faith, you know, he said in a religious context, but still here in this context, if you're not prepared to take that leap of faith, then you're not likely to find yourself in the right frame of mind to make love. So you need to come at the situation with this desire to gain, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, a 10 in intimacy. I mean, it isn't just, I'm going to satisfy my sexual desire. I could very well be with someone else. It's not that at all. This is a person that you want to share the most intimate relationship that a human being can conceivably have. It's conceptually loaded. It's loaded with emotion, and it's just viscerally there for one to have if you're in the right frame of mind. But if you have anxiety, you see, about maybe I'm not going to be performing sufficiently enough, maybe I'm going to be judged negatively, and so forth. Those are the types of situations where people, you know, have sexual dysfunctionality too. It's not likely that they're going to achieve, you know, this state of sexual nirvana that I'm talking about.
Ladies and gentlemen, another book that Dr. Cohen has written is entitled Caution: Faulty Thinking Can Be Harmful to Your Happiness. I can see how having faulty thinking in the area of intimacy can be harmful to the happiness, too. Stay with us. Dr. Cohen and I will be right back.